Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Tim Versalotti, we're talking now about the gubernatorial race that's going to be coming up in Massachusetts. Recently, we had a conversation in which you said that Charlie Baker was sort of in a tough spot right now because the Republicans were not being well viewed because of the mess that's in Washington right now. But so let's take a look at the Democrats. But before we do, I want to ask you a question. How much does tribe, T-R-I-B-E, count in Massachusetts? What tribe you come from? Have we ever had a Jewish governor in Massachusetts? Not that I know of, but you probably know more about Massachusetts than I do.
Not that I know of either.
Treasurer Grossman is a very bright, ambitious, forceful guy, is up for the gubernatorial nomination. He wants to win. He's opposed by others like Martha Coakley. I'm wondering how much tribe counts.
It's hard to say. If you're asking whether tribe in the sense of...
Well, he's Jewish. I mean, yeah, you know, we do know that there's been an established political class in Massachusetts that wins as opposed to an outside group coming in. Now, with that said, we have a black governor of Massachusetts. Maybe the electorate is ready for change.
And I think when Steve Grossman ran for treasurer in 2010, I never heard a whiff of anything about religion or Judaism back then. I just don't think it's on people's radar. I think the more prominent tribal aspects would be race, no doubt about it, and gender as well, in the sense that we had never elected a woman to the Senate until Elizabeth Warren was elected, and we've yet to elect a woman governor. So I think those are considerations, but I think even they're secondary to the actual candidates who are running.
Well, but you know, this is prejudice. It's pure and simple. Somebody votes against you because you're black. Somebody votes against you and you're the pollster. Somebody votes against you because you're a woman. They're not going to start talking to people about that. They're going to go in the voting booth and have this mood and just do it, but they're not telling you and they're not telling their mother.
No question about it. Those are very difficult issues to measure with a poll. You can ask, setting aside your own personal views, generally speaking, do you think this, and see if you can tease it out that way? Or there are some very clever experiments that people embed into surveys where you alter some wording or circumstances. But yeah, it's very difficult to tap into that. But what we see in Massachusetts so far does not suggest I just haven't seen any sense of that where tribe is having some kind of large impact.
Well, I'm pleased to hear that. Let me go to the next subject then, Martha Coakley. Now, she runs for senator. She runs an insipid campaign. Everybody is holding their heads and saying, how could she be so bad? She takes a vacation. She just doesn't show the right stuff. Then, of course, she runs again for attorney general. She wins. She's been out there a little bit more. Does she have a chance for a comeback?
Yeah, she could. I think people like comeback stories. I think America is the place of second chances. And in a sense,
Dick Nixon.
Yeah, absolutely. And Ronald Reagan, for that matter, as well. Ran for the presidency, for the nomination in 76, lost to Gerald Ford, but then came right back and won it all in 1980. And it's interesting to watch the early web ads for the candidates in the governor's race. Both Martha Coakley and Charlie Baker, who was the unsuccessful Republican candidate for governor in 2010, have some language about redemption in their in the way they present themselves as learned from the past, wasn't always successful. And I think that's something that will resonate with some voters. Who among us hasn't failed at something or made some colossal mistake? And it really humanizes a candidate.
That's fascinating stuff. So, but on the other hand, can somebody reinvent their perceived character? I mean, her character was perceived in that election, I think, as sort of insipid. Can you change that? I heard her on the radio one day, and I said, uh-oh. I don't, you know, this is not the new Martha Coakley. This is the old one.
Yeah, it's a tough balance because if you change too much, people will look at the candidate and say, what, are you kidding me? Come on. We know better than that. And so you have to strike a careful balance there by saying, I've learned from the past. I've learned from my mistakes. There are some things that a candidate can do, step up the retail side of politics. And we saw that with Martha Coakley this time around after her announcement. She was out shaking hands. And I would suggest she's going to do a lot more of that just to demonstrate that that part of her approach to politics has changed. You can't change your core values or your core philosophy about government. People will look at that and say, well, you're flip-flopping. This is all political expediency. You don't believe any of this. So, but you can do some things about style, about presentation that perhaps will get across to people that you're willing to learn from your mistakes and improve in areas where you can make some improvements.
Okay, let's talk gambling for a minute, Tim Versalotti. West Springfield had a chance to vote a casino in, and they said, hell no. And I have a theory on this. Tell me if you think I'm wrong, which you may well do. And that is, I have a feeling that the more affluent the community, the more likely it is to reject gambling. And the more, you know, difficult things are, more challenged a community is, the more likely they are to take a casino. What do you think?
I think that makes a lot of sense. We did polling in Springfield before the Springfield referendum in July and found that folks who were voting for the casino, jobs, economic development were the primary motivation. If you're in a community that's doing pretty well, then that motivation isn't there. I would also add to your theory by adding, let's call it the proximity postulate. If you've got a casino going in right across the river, and if you live in West Springfield, you're right across the Connecticut River from downtown Springfield, you're thinking, well, I could have all the positives and none of the negatives.
Well, but you couldn't, but Tim, you wouldn't get the money. You wouldn't
True.
Get the tax money.
Yeah. But what you'd get, we're talking about voters as opposed to the town officialdom. Voters are thinking, do I want this traffic? Do I want potential increases in crime in my community? Wow, it'd be really fun to go see some shows, maybe play the slot machines. And so folks in West Springfield get both. They don't have the negative consequences. They have the casino right nearby. And there is revenue sharing. The surrounding communities do get some revenue from the casino as well. Not nearly as much as they would get by hosting it, but there is still some financial payoff there.
Okay, Tim, we only have a minute. I wanted to ask you this. Do the Republicans have anybody that could beat Hillary Clinton? My candidate, the only one I think can come close is Chris Christie, and I don't know that they'll nominate him.
Yeah, that's that is the name on most people's lips when they say, okay, who can the Republicans put out there? The challenge to Chris Christie is, how do you get through the primary season? How do you get through Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina in particular? How do you survive the vetting process where you've got to push yourself to the right a bit to succeed in those states? The issue, though, is an open one because who is running against him? Will it be Rand Paul? Will it be Marco Rubio? And we know that the Clintons can incite such antagonism among Republicans that it could be that people are very pragmatic and say, I don't care who it is, as long as we defeat Hillary Clinton, and Chris Christie could benefit from that.
Tim Versalotti is our great correspondent. And Tim, it is always such a pleasure to have you on. You really know what you're talking about. Thanks so much for being
with us. Thank you, Alan. Thank you. I enjoyed it.